why are you running 100 miles? Why did you pay $200 to go put yourself through this pain or through this misery or through the joy that you're expecting? Why are you racing? Why are you doing it? Because on mile 38, when you can't feel your legs, you got stung by a bee in the eye, you're bleeding, you don't want to go anymore, you should speak out loud why you're running. And that's what I did. Is there was no one around me, and even if there was, I wouldn't care. I was on the trail alone, and I just kept telling myself, I'm running because blank. I'm running because blank. And I would just spoke it out. And that is fuel, my friend.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome back. My guest this week is the head of sales at the American Negotiation Institute. Shane Martin has certifications in negotiation from both Yale and Harvard, and he says his mission is he wants to give a positive generational shift, showing people that your best life is usually on the other side of difficult conversations. And, you know, if you're an ultra runner, you know the kind of difficult conversations that we all have with ourselves out there on the trail. Shane gives some great advice on how to make those negotiations successful. But first of all, I want to thank Exoskin for sponsoring this episode. You know, we ultra runners, we choose to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We love to go and do ultras because it's hard. In fact, you know, there's a saying going around saying we get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Now, I've got some thoughts about that saying, but I get the spirit of it. Yes, we go out and do things that make ourselves uncomfortable. But just because we do hard things and we're comfortable with being uncomfortable doesn't mean we have to make things harder than they should be. And Exoskin designs clothes to be comfortable no matter what the conditions, because there's enough other things out there to make us uncomfortable. We don't need our clothes making us uncomfortable. Exoskin has you covered, from socks to hats and skull caps, everything in between, shorts, shirts, underwear. And all their apparel uses a patented rapid dry copper fabric, reduces friction, pulls moisture away from your body. The copper is antimicrobial, so your clothes don't stink. They are comfortable clothes to wear when you're out in those uncomfortable situations. Check out the full line of apparel at exoskin.us. That's the letter X, O-skin.us. Use the code ULTRAMINDSET at checkout. Get a sweet discount. Exoskin is a veteran-owned company. All their products are made in the U.S., and every product is backed by a 30-day guarantee. So if you wear it for 30 days, if you're not fully satisfied, you can get a full refund. Now, Shane Martin, he understands the mental side of running ultramarathons. He has that down. And this episode's a little bit shorter than usual, and it moves quick. So listen fast, because Shane drops plenty of wisdom you can use in your mindset for running ultramarathons, also for life. Good stuff in here. Here's my conversation with Shane Martin. Yeah. So did you run in school? Were you like, I mean, some people I know, they say like, oh, I started running when I was 6 years old.
No, I hated running. So no, I didn't.
Okay. And I've heard that before too. So did you do sports in school at all?
Yeah, I was I played baseball. I was supposed to go play baseball in college, and had the things lined up and was ready to go. And then senior year, I was fortunate to be the captain of my team, and then took a fastball 90 plus mile an hour off the top of my hand, bones shattered, surgery immediately, wow. Plates, screws, tears, all the things. And so my baseball career ended.
Wow. Yeah. And that's, yeah. That unfortunately is for, you know, happens to a lot of, well, a fair number of people, that an injury can like that can take you out of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was an incredibly dark time. I was actually incredibly fortunate to have friends, family around me to support me. But even that, like when your identity is wrapped up in something that is a sport, it's really dangerous because when it's taken away unexpectedly, you go to really dark places, which ultimately I was able to find something else to fuel me. And so I decided to get my pilot's license, and that's where I put my energy into.
Wow. Wow. That's kind of cool. So you, that was a senior in high school. That was your senior year. So yeah, you were not only all the teenage stuff that you were, you know, having to deal with, that, that would be a dark time. So what did you go right into, like, as soon as your hand was healed, let's be a pilot?
Yeah, I went right into being a pilot. And that's that version. That is Shane 1.0. You're talking to Shane 2.0. just because of all the mistakes I made, all the tough moments, those are times to reinvent yourself, right? And become a stronger person, hopefully, just given how you decide to react and respond to things that go on around you. So yeah, that was Shane 1.0 who became a pilot and did lots of traveling. And Shane 2.0 is here with you today.
That's kind of a turning point and, you know, a dark time. What were the things that you did? I mean, you know, this, we talk about mindset here, you know, and a lot of times I think back on my life as, you know, my time when I was that age, and like my mindset skills weren't really very good. So what were the things that you kind of, if you can remember, you know, that got you through that? What made you?
Well, it's a good point. And I think the answer is different for everyone. My answer, thinking back to my last race, the 50-mile race that I was in Ohio, the Burning River race, was 50 miles. What got me through that pain was simply falling in love with it. I visualized the pain in my legs, the bee that stung me in the eye, the bloody ankle from the thorn bush. I visualized all of that pain as a physical object. And while I was running that marathon, I just wrapped my arms around it and just fell in love. That's how I dealt with the pain.
Okay. Okay. So was that a skill that you learned from your time with recovering from the baseball injury? Or was that something that came later?
I don't even know when it came. It's like one of those things that we can talk about mindset. People talk about mindset. There's hundreds of books on mindset, but the people who are going out there doing the ultras, like your listeners, the people who are actually in the pain, in the fields, like doing things, those are the people who I'm interested in learning from and hearing from. And so I'd say the way I found out how to deal with pain is by just being in it. What other way what other way is there? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you, looking ahead at your race, was there mindset things that you practiced to try to come up with this idea? Or, because I know there are, you know, you talk about mindset stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of mindset coaches that will say, well, to develop mental toughness, you take cold showers. And I'm like, well, you know, that's sort of, yeah, I can understand that. But, you know, what you talked about when you're out there and you're attacked by the thorn bush and the bee stings you in the eye, you know, that's nothing like a cold shower.
That's true. That's true. So, and I did take a cold shower this morning. It was awful.
It was awful?
Awful, awful. But see, that's the thing is, like, in discipline, there's also freedom. And so I would offer kind of three things that have helped me develop mindset. The first is your ultra marathon is won or raced or finished before you even began. And we talked about that earlier today, but it's like the you win in the preparation. It's just like a negotiation. You win in the prep that you do, the training that you do. So when I was out on the course dying, basically, climbing these stairs that are covered in mud, it's like ice skating uphill. I remembered the hills that I ran in Arizona with a weighted vest on when it was 110 degrees. I knew I could get up that mountain because I had already done it. And so you win in the prep. The second thing is, like, you have to see the finish line before you even get there. And I'm not saying while you're running, think about the finish line. I think that that's a death sentence. You can't think about mile 50 when you're on mile one. that's horrible for any mindset. and that's what happened to me in the last ultra. I had a tracker in my headphones, and the woman who sounds like Siri, she goes, "Mile one complete. You have 11 hours and 8 minutes left." I was like,
"Oh, that would be awful.
Horrible. No one deserves that torture." And so I said, "Cancel, close out that app," and that was done immediately. I just couldn't even fathom that, and nor should anyone. So I think that what I really mean is visualizing the finish line is before you even run your race, see yourself crossing the finish line. Like, see it and speak about it and talk about it and own it and like really mean it. And when the time comes, when you're digging in the race, when you have to dig deep, you've already saw that you've crossed the finish line. So I would say you got to see the finish line before you even get there. And the final one is super brief, but I think it's the most powerful. Why are you running 100 miles? Why did you pay $200 to go put yourself through this pain or through this misery or through the joy that you're expecting? Why are you racing? Why are you doing it? Because on mile 38, when you can't feel your legs, you got stung by a bee in the eye, you're bleeding, you don't want to go anymore, you should speak out loud why you're running. And that's what I did. Is there was no one around me, and even if there was, I wouldn't care. I was on the trail alone, and I just kept telling myself, I'm running because blank. I'm running because blank. And I just spoke it out. And that is fuel, my friend.
Mm-hmm. So for those like me who have a difficult time visualizing, what you talk about visualizing do you visualize the finish line as if you are, you know, if you're in your body, or do you visualize yourself as like you're from an outside observer and see yourself in the crowd and crossing the finish line? Which
I'd say visualize it all. if that's possible. Do everything you can, right? Like you don't show up to, let's say the police don't show up to a crime scene with just one tool, with one gun. They show up with an armory. They show up with different tools to assess sort of the situation, the crime scene. I would say the same thing at your ultra marathon. Show up with different tools. When you're visualizing, show up as someone who's in the audience. Show up as your crew. Show up as your own self running.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of a setup question. Neurolinguistic programming says that in visualization, you need both sides. You need to have, to visualize it as if you are the participant, and then you step back and you visualize it as an observer. And that actually is more powerful than either of the other two by themselves. So yeah, it was a setup question.
Yeah, so, you gave me a trick question and I got it right. Thankfully. Usually I don't get these right. So,
yeah, well, you did. I mean, it was like you hit it out of the park. So it's like I had full confidence in you.
I didn't give you a
good chance to introduce yourself. You work as a professional negotiator. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. So I work as the head of partnerships. I lead the sales team at American Negotiation Institute. It's an amazing company. It's very simple. We help people have difficult conversations. And I was thinking about our conversation and the negotiations that we have within ourselves, especially during a marathon and ultra race. Think about the questions you're asking yourself. It's a negotiation too. And so, yes. Yeah, I think that'd be really interesting to talk about that as well.
Yeah. So what is, I mean, you talked about the, you know, being able to say your why. And so, you know, that would be the kind of a foundation of, you know, you're asking yourself and in, you know, anybody who has run 50, 100 miles, even, you know, the 50K, there comes a point where you're going like, why in the hell am I doing this? and I mean, we sometimes we'll say it out loud, but oftentimes we're asking that question in our head, like, why am I here?
Absolutely. And if you have the clearer, the stronger, and the more relevant your answer is, the more powerful it is and the more fuel it is. So it just depends on the person and how you get there. If someone doesn't know why they're doing it, it'll come with time. And I would say, like, don't stress over it, but definitely think about it and maybe talk to someone who you trust. That way someone who can ask you good questions to bring that gold out of you, to unearth essentially why you're doing it, and then remember that and use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I hadn't considered that question until the day before my first attempt at 100 miles. And my wife asked me the night before, because she thought I was going to die. And so she said, why are you doing this? And I didn't have an answer. So I was kind of glad that she asked me that question, because I hadn't done that type of reflection yet. And it was helpful to go into the race with saying, yeah, this is why I'm doing it. And that was extremely helpful.
Definitely. So. And I think that's what's so beautiful about running, is that it's not even about the running all the time. For me, the running is just a vehicle that allows me to answer my why. And the reason why I'm running is to shift generations. I want to change my family generation in a positive way, leaving behind addiction, limiting beliefs, leaving behind all these things that have just riddled our past, our family's history. That changes with me, and that's a decision. Really, running is just an outward reflection of an inward desire to just be like no one else in my family before and leave a positive legacy for generations that you don't even know, that I can't even see.
Yeah. And so now I have to ask, so you're, give me some examples of the limiting beliefs that you've overcome, and kind of how did you do that? It was a decision that you made, a conscious decision, looking at your family saying, I want to be different. I want to change my legacy. So what were some of the, because that hits me too, because I struggled with that for a lot longer than what I should have. And so it took me a lot of years before I really was able to make I knew they were there. I knew where they came from. It was like all the psychology and all the health self-help books told me what my problem was and where it came from. And I didn't have any power to change it until just a couple of years ago. So I was just, where'd you start, and kind of what are you doing to change it?
Examples of limiting beliefs. Well, do you have a couple hours handy?
Yeah. give me the top three.
I'm not enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's common. I mean,
yeah.
I would say that there's most of us have those things come up.
Yeah. I'm not enough. I think that's so powerful. And especially for people who are growth oriented, growth mindset, where they're always stretching themselves or trying to be intentional about growing. Typically, those are the people who feel like they're not doing enough. And it can be a blessing, and it can be a curse, that limiting belief of I'm not enough. But that's something that I think is very real. Another one is I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I think that's a limiting belief too in itself. In a way, it's I think staying comfortable is one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to be different, if you're trying to change, if you're trying to grow, how can you do that with staying comfortable?
Yeah.
You can't. And I think that's why a lot of people run. So, there are a lot of things you can do. Running is just one vehicle, and ultramarathons is just one vehicle, but it doesn't have to be just that. Whatever someone's striving towards, there are a lot of ways to do that. But I would say staying comfortable is a limiting belief. It would be more like I can only stay comfortable, or I want to stay comfortable. That's very limiting.
Well, and there are, your family and friends will encourage you to do that, because there was one of the self-help books I read. They were talking about how the people you surround yourself with, and they talked about crab fishermen. And I'm not a crab fisherman, so this story may just be, I mean, I've heard it several places, so I'm assuming it's true. One crab in a bucket will crawl out. But if you have two crabs in the bucket, whenever one of them tries to crawl out, the other one pulls them back in. And so it's the same idea of, you know, family and friends. They want you to do okay, but they don't want you to crawl out of the bucket and have a successful, wildly, you know, adventurous, epic life. They want, there's an expectation that that you stay within your comfort zone, within the comfort zone of your peer group.
Yeah. And I want to be clear too. I love my family. They're everything to me. I would do anything. There's no way I would have even finished the 50 mile race if I didn't have support, specifically from my mom who was helping me crew and just get through it. There's no way. And so it's okay to love your family, but still disagree. It's okay to love someone, but still disagree. Or it's okay to love someone and then make a decision for yourself. And you're right. Like the crab metaphor is super interesting. And now I'm hungry for seafood for lunch. So thank you for that. But you're right. And you have to decide also recognize who's the crab that's pulling you down and what are they saying that's pulling you down? Because how can you make a decision if you don't recognize what's going on? And I think truly the only way to do that is to suffer, is to run, is to try new things, is to be different.
Well, and a lot of times those people aren't around anymore. I mean, could have been your grandmother, people who are no longer in your life. It's easy that you hear these things as children that are just repeated over and over and over. You know, stay in your lane. Don't get too uppity. There are things that the families tend to say to each other, and we can adopt those as kids and young adults. And it's the voice that keeps coming in our head that is the limiting belief. And for me, it was very similar. It was not something my parents were actively doing. It was the things that I adopted, their beliefs that I adopted as I was growing up, and the stories that I told myself.
Yeah. And it's a blessing to have parents, right? It's a blessing to have them in your life. And it's like one of those things that you don't know how sweet it is until it's gone. And I'll never forget a moment that happened in San Francisco. We were at a dinner with my dad and my best friend, Tyler. And we were talking about this idea of shifting generations. And Tyler said one of the most wise things I've ever heard that has had a massive impact on how I approach ultra marathons, how I approach mindset. And he said something along the lines of, as a son, as a daughter, as a kid, he asked my dad, like, don't you want Shane to stand on your shoulders and sort of as a like passing of the baton, like sort of take things to the next level in a way, like stand on the shoulders of the people before you. And try new things and push limitations and push boundaries. I just love the idea of like the love a parent has for their own kid, for them to want their kid to pick up where they left off and whatever that looks like. It doesn't have to be money or making more money or more houses. Like it's about shifting the generations. It's about like carrying a legacy further and doing it in a way that ultimately brings joy to you. And I just love the idea. I love the idea of standing on the shoulders of the people before you, because ultimately, isn't that what love is?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that legacy from our parents, we get things that are helpful. We get things that are, that are limiting. And I think every generation has that. And it's the mindset of saying, I'm going to be grateful for all of it, and grateful for the challenges the challenges within myself, the beliefs that I have had, and I don't blame my parents. My parents, they are who they are. The limiting beliefs came from the stories I told myself. It was my interpretation of what they were doing that came to me. As a, you were talking about, I'm not enough. My limiting belief was I'm not supposed to be a winner. And so I struggled with that. I mean, and that showed up when I played sports, that showed up in my finances, that showed up on my job. And it was, and I knew it was there. And I just, it was, but it was so much in my subconscious that I kept going. I kept trying to figure out how to get over that. And, And I did. And I've made progress. And so I can say that, which is why I'm here now. It's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's why I'm running ultra marathons.
Eric, I love that so much. That must have been such a belief that held you back from certain experiences. But when you broke free from that, I mean, that must have just felt like so much freedom. I think a lot of people feel like they're not winners. And I just want to say that that's okay to not feel like you're a winner, because you know what? Do you learn more from losing or do you learn more from winning? The answer 99% of the time is you learn more from losing, from failing, from not winning. And I think that there's a lot of gold. There's a lot of opportunity in losing and being rejected and things not working out. But what's the most important part in that is, what do you do next? Do you quit? Do you stop? Do you give up? And in certain aspects, I would say in certain situations, that's okay. But it depends on the situation, obviously. But those who push through and keep going despite the failure, that's the ultra marathon mindset right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then being willing to try things that you can actually lose at. Because it's easy to, if you feel like you're not a winner, do you play it safe? And that was kind of my approach. Was I took the safe route. I always had a margin, and tried to create places where it wasn't too hard, so I'd have a better chance at winning, better chance of not losing. And now it's like, okay, I'm going to, enter a race where there's a good chance you won't finish. I mean, even if you prepare everything goes, everything on your end that you can prepare goes the way you want. In a 100-mile race, it's not guaranteed. There's so many things that can go wrong that you can't plan for.
Absolutely. I mean, and in some races, everything will go wrong that could possibly go wrong. Right. So right. you have to bounce back from that. And I think there are so many, that's a whole nother discussion. That's so true. But I want to be thoughtful and clear and not just all fluff when we're talking about this, when we're talking about like the I'm not a winner mindset or the limiting belief or the I'm comfortable limiting belief.
Or I'm not enough.
It's
I'm not good enough.
Yeah. A couple years ago, so here's a story about a woman who I talked to that was suicidal. I volunteered in San Francisco at a suicide hotline where people call in and most people just want someone to talk to. Every so often there's one or two calls where someone is really in a heap of trouble. They're very suicidal. And I had just started volunteering at the suicide hotline, the National Suicide Hotline in San Francisco, just finished the training, which was phenomenal and long too. And she told me that she was on the ledge ready to jump 10 plus stories up. And my body went numb, completely numb, palms shaky, sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And I froze. And eventually, as I got more comfortable and had help from people in the call center, as I was talking to her, they were all listening in, hunched over their phones. I was talking on the headset. We started figuring out why she was feeling suicidal. Why was she sad? And we ultimately narrowed it down to one thing. And that's so important if you're talking to someone who's in a lot of distress, is like, find the one thing that is causing them the most stress and talk and dive into that and learn more about that and sort of peel back the layers of an onion per se of that specific issue. And the issue with her is that she didn't feel like she was growing. She was comfortable in what she was doing, and it was driving her nuts. It was driving her insane, rightfully so. She had every right to feel that way because she wasn't taking any chances or taking any risks. And then a few other things that happened in her life that didn't help. So it just kind of snowballed, but it all was cemented around the idea that she wasn't growing enough. And that makes complete sense. And so mm-hmm. we dove into that, and ultimately she stepped back from the ledge and everything was okay. But the power in growing and stretching yourself, cannot be forgotten, because the depths that and the places it can take you outside your comfort zone are limitless if you make the decision each and every day, as many days as you can, to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I mean, we're almost conditioned, though, to condition to crave comfort. You know, we try to do things to make our lives easier in general. We buy convenience food, being able to be as comfortable as possible. And what you're saying is that's well and good, but we need to have balance that with something that will challenge us as well.
Yeah, definitely. And don't get me wrong, convenience food, I'm the number one fan of Panda Express. So I'm not saying eat the worst thing ever, get out of your comfort zone for every meal type of thing, but I'm saying be comfortable uncomfortable is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's what I say is, as a coach, is, you know, I try to help people find their epic thing. And it's kind of what you were saying is, if you just kind of go through life and, you know, everything's always the same and nothing changes and you really don't have anything to look forward to, there seems to be something inside of most of us that, you know, we really want something epic, you know, to do something epic, to have something we can say, yeah, I did that. It was hard. It hurt. That's part of what we do in running ultra marathons, is like, it was bad and I made it. And you know, that's a challenge. That's what makes ultra marathon running.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Mental toughness is being comfortable while you're uncomfortable. It's taking that pain. It's that taking that embarrassment, taking that, that maybe negative emotion and just wrapping your arms around it and just fall deeply in love with it. That's mental toughness.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So real quickly, I know we're running close on time. You have another engagement. So what's your top negotiating strategies for running long distances?
I love it. We should have started with this one.
Yeah, no, we should have started. And we're almost out of time. So I've given you, putting you on the spot. You're going to have to be like the Twitter version.
It's a great question. What's my number one advice when you're negotiating with yourself in an ultra marathon on a course? And there's so much advice out there. There's so much advice. And I'm going to give advice that maybe less than half of people will take. When you're getting ready.
Challenge accepted. I can hear my viewers. Yeah, I'll take that challenge.
The reason why I know it is because I haven't done it. And and when you don't do it, the course will beat you. And so my number one advice is to own the course. Don't let the course own you. And what I mean by that is several things. One, practically study the elevation, study the map. Go to the course if you can, if you have access, and run at least one loop before the actual race. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? With the course. Know where your crew's going to be at. Tell them five times the right place, because sometimes they don't show up, and that's an awful feeling on mile 38 or mile 12 when you're like, I have nothing. So I would reiterate that. So I would say, own the course. Don't let the course own you. Essentially is what I'm saying. Run the race before the start line even is filled with runners, before the gun goes mm-hmm. off. Run your race before.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is great advice. Yeah. I've got 100 mile coming. You've got 100 mile coming up. Not very long, but I've got one coming up in a couple of weeks, and I've started doing that. This is my second try. So, I know what the course is like. And, so I've been sitting down and kind of running through what's it going to feel like, you know, Saturday night. It was 3 a.m. I woke up. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to still be out there running. And so I'm kind of going through those things in my mind to prepare myself to, It's like, yeah, I'm going to be running for 30 hours. And that's
question. So, are you running with or without shoes in this 100-mile race?
I'm running in sandals. It is my, it is rocky. It's rough. I mean, there is a support group for one of the trails because we got beat up so bad in 2019. Somebody had, you know, the White Trail support group because it beat us up so bad. I've got a 13-millimeter sandal that I'm going to be wearing. So you're
running in sandals. You're like the Jesus of ultra marathons.
Yes. Without the beard or the long hair.
But you got the same determination. So I wish you the best on your race.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Now, so tell me about your 100 coming up. You're going to do the Brazos Bend.
Brazos Bend. Yes. If anyone's in Houston, December 4th, 2021, I would love to meet you. It's in Houston. It's 6 loops, all flat. So thank goodness for that. And it's 100 miles, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that maybe after you've had success at that, we can come back and go for round two, and you can give us some more insights about how did you put your negotiation skills to work in the 100-mile distance versus the 50.
Absolutely. Wrap your hands around that pain and fall in love. That's what you got to do.
That's great. So, okay, we got just a couple more minutes before you have to go. What is it? Leave us some final thoughts of what people can do to improve their mental toughness.
Yeah, I think there are so many different things to do. And for anyone who's still listening right now, thank you. And I hope that the idea of running your race before it begins is something that you carry, that you quote unquote run with before your race, because that's going to carry you to survive, to thrive, to ultimately finish in the time that you want to do. So I would say run your race before it begins. I would say take care of yourself as well. We often neglect our own bodies. I do this as well. I've made that mistake of not stretching enough, not the right nutrition. Like, it's okay to ask for help. That's what I'm doing for this race because of the last race where I didn't ask for help. So get on a training program. And this is just being super practical. Like, cut out alcohol if you can as much as possible, because your body is going to perform better. Like, these are all things that are good physically, but also our minds are the most powerful thing ever. And so they're obviously connected, your mind and your physical body. And so if you take care of your physical body, your mind's naturally going to be taken care of as well. So that's kind of my parting thoughts. And I just got to say, Eric, I'm so grateful for this podcast. I'm so grateful for just everyone who's listening. And if this is interesting to you, I would love to chat with you. I would love to meet you. And you can follow me, Shane Ray Martin, on Instagram or LinkedIn. It's SHANERAYMARTIN. And I'm just incredibly grateful and excited for everyone who's listening to go crush their race.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you a lot for your time, Shane. And I will have those links in the show notes as well. So people can find you on the show notes from this episode. So thank you a lot. I appreciate your time, and good luck. I don't say good luck, good running for your race. I don't want to count on luck. I want to say good running to you. And we'll look forward to hearing good reports from you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good running and lots of orange chicken at the finish line.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast. You know, most people, you know, start turning the podcast off at this point. But yeah, since you're still listening, I want to ask for just a minute more. I want to try something new. I would like to hear your stories about running, any topic. But to get started, why don't you say, what is the strangest thing you found along the trail or the road? I'd like to hear from what you have to say about your stories of running, whether you're a road runner or a trail runner. What's the weirdest thing you've seen when you're out running? I have a site set up to collect comments. It is ultramindsetpodcast.run. The show notes are there. There's also a place for comments, questions, and stories on the sidebar, and then also in with all the rest of the all the rest of the show notes. There's a link there that will let you record your running stories, and what I'd like to do is collect the best stories to play at the end. So after this, you know, I'm done talking here, we would have someone give their stories about running. Something fun that I wanted to try to do to help you kind of feel connected and maybe get a little bit more involved. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, if you know somebody who would like it as well, take just a minute, send them a link. Appreciate that. Sharing it helps us to helps me to grow the podcast. Remember, an ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. And I am a life coach. So if you are feeling stuck in life and you'd like to see how life coaching can help, send me a DM on Instagram at Eric Dieter, or just use the link ultramindsetpodcast.run. Leave a voice message there or text. Be glad to talk with you, see if I can help you get yourself further down the road. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.